that's okay that groups of 50 can be together. I mean, listen, I'm a big fan of Mulligan's with their St. Paddy's Day. Love it. You know, I mean, they're a great business. But literally to say it's okay that 50 strangers that are all going to go back to their own communities and own households, we can have 50 in the tent and 50 in the bar. That is, like I said, it's shocking that we allowed that. And frankly, I'm embarrassed when I heard on that call that we hadn't done it yet. So take it for what it's worth, but that is a bad call. And I sure hope it doesn't bite us in the ass.
Hold on 1 second, Alderman.
Well, if she wants to chime in on that, I do have a question then. Okay, well then I got another question then. So can you explain, so we can at least do this right, can you explain that now that we had a person test positive, mm-hmm. can you explain the process and how we trace and track it, like what you've done to figure out like who that individual has contacted? And sure. I'm guessing that's where some of these negative tests and pending tests are coming from, is my maybe guess, is because that individual was around other people and we want to make sure they don't have it. So could you explain the process?
Sure. Well, the process for contact tracing this illness is the same essentially as any other illness. So you start with the person who's diagnosed, and in this instance, based on what we know of the transmission rate of it being a droplet versus airborne, there are criteria of duration of time that you're around an individual as well as distance around an individual. So we go back in time based on their symptomology and their travel history or not travel history back in time and ask them to recount where they've been since they became symptomatic or since they returned from whatever travel. We figure out which contacts would be at risk based on the criteria that the CDC sets up. If those individuals that they have come into contact with live in Franklin, we follow up with them directly. If they do not live in Franklin, we contact those health departments where that person lives to follow up with them. Likewise, if there was a confirmed case, say the West Allis case, was somebody that their significant other might live in Franklin, we would find out from West Allis that person lives here. We would follow up with them. What I can say is that anybody that meets the criteria of a close contact is notified immediately and told the proper precautions that they need to take, whether that's they should go and get tested, whether that's they should self-quarantine, whether that they need to be in isolation. The tricky part for us comes in now with so many travel restrictions coming out, we have to rely on the public to let us know where people have gone, if they've traveled, so we can relay to them the proper precautions they need to take, which is a difficult system. It was easier when it was, you know, just monitoring China, and we were getting phone calls from the CDC and the FAA notifying us of people that traveled to and from China. But now that it's, you know, all the European countries, different states, it's harder for us to stay on top of it. So we're relying on the public as well to let us know if they have travel plans or if they've come back from an area so we can help them to prevent other people from getting sick by having them stay put for a while.
I may have another question, but I'll kind of pass it on. I appreciate you answering the question. Obviously, this is extremely frustrating if you haven't saw. I mean, I think we, like I said, mishandled this. And I said, I hope I said it doesn't come back and bite us in the ass.
I think this is going to come back at us. I don't think we've acted soon enough. And Courtney, I would like you to explain to the listening audience the definition of a pandemic.
The definition of a pandemic? The definition is set by the CDC, and it has to meet three criteria within there. It has to do with the number of people infected, the breadth of its spread, and then the community transmission rate once it has spread. So the reason it took a while for the CDC and the World Health Organization to declare it a pandemic versus an epidemic was that the community spread piece was not well known, meaning that people that were getting sick without a history of travel or without a close contact to somebody who had traveled and gotten sick wasn't well known or defined. Once that happened and was happening in multiple continents, that's when they declared it a pandemic. Up until then, it was just the epidemic based on how the disease had spread to different countries and the number of people infected.
Now, that was quite some time ago. So as far as the testing and criteria, are you aware, as of yesterday, the Aurora phone number still asks the question when you call that they want to know if you've been out of the country in the last 14 days as part of their testing criteria, and that they're not even recognizing the cases that are right in our own neighborhood?
So there has been discrepancy, I will say. The phone calls that I have been on that are related to the hospital systems, there is discrepancy, and not all of our four or five hospital systems are applying the same criteria. They have been implored from public health and Wisconsin DHS to all use the guidelines that were handed down by the CDC, which had changed to not only question people with travel history, but also to include people with chronic medical conditions who were ill from no other source, to people who were in the medical profession who may not have traveled, but by nature of their jobs probably came into contact with somebody who had the illness. So the criteria had changed, but it is difficult to get all of the hospital systems, especially hospital systems that cross state lines, to all follow the same policies and procedures.
Alderman Mayor, you're next.
Well, I have a couple more things. I don't think we're doing enough. I don't think there's consistency, and we're never going to get ahead of this the way things are laid out right now. Yesterday, I saw people walking around coughing. They weren't even wearing masks. And I would like to err on the side of caution for the health of our residents. And the fact that we were willing to bring other people into Franklin to basically party for St. Patty's Day, because everything else was closed on the other sides of the city, and we were okay with that, tells me that's really irresponsible. And I am not sure that we have the proper health person in charge if they're going to put business over the health of the residents.
Alderman Mayor.
Yeah, I would not put this on solely on Courtney there. I'm not going to belabor this, because I think Alderman Taylor actually hit most of the points. I would like to see us firm up our policy, Mayor, because when a fire chief or Courtney or the police chief tell you we need to do something, you shouldn't have to wait for approval from us. You're the mayor of the city. Just do it. It's an emergency. So that's my only point here. And, yeah, I was closing bars in Cudahy last night, which was an interesting experience, but it had to be done. And there was not a question about it. So I wouldn't put it on Courtney. I'd just say we need to address this, and next time, just do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alderman Dandridge.
I just wanted to ask Courtney, how do we continue to police an infected individual? What's the follow-up?
So somebody that has tested positive?
Correct.
So if they've tested positive, there are isolation orders that are given to them, which basically dictate that they are not to leave their home for the duration of the illness. So each illness is a little bit different. This particular one, they are isolated to their home until they have two negative samples in greater than 24 hours apart. So we get daily symptom checks from them. So once they've been fever-free for 24 hours, we can start attempting to do retests with them. Once we get one negative test, we wait 24 hours and we do it again. So once they've had the two negative tests, they're allowed to come out of isolation.
So you're saying is it a health nurse that's actually going to their home? Are they coming? Or they can't leave, so.
Right. So for the symptom checks, we have nurses that either can go to their home, or we can do things via like phone and like Skype calling and that kind of thing, where we don't have to put ourselves at risk. Right now, as I'm sure you all know, personal protective equipment is at a critical stage where there isn't a whole lot to spare. So what we can do through visual, like Skype and you know, using FaceTime and that kind of thing, that's what we prefer to use. So we can see them doing it. We can see them physically as we're talking to them. And that way we don't have to put our own health at risk or use any of our personal protective equipment. So that individual will remain isolated at home. People that meet the self-quarantine guidelines, those individuals are supposed to stay at home, avoid social gatherings, that kind of thing, but they don't need to remain isolated from their family or anybody else that's in their home. Sure. Those individuals are sent a letter from us to let them know that they need to be in self-quarantine.
So there's really a honor system here that we're...
To some extent. I mean, we do have, if we have reason to believe that they are not abiding by that, we do have the power to, or I should say I have the power to enforce that through legal means if I need to. But so far, no one that we've dealt with in this. I feel like if people call us to tell us that they traveled somewhere, they're already taking more initiative than a lot of other people are. So I'm trusting them at their word that they're staying there. We are checking in on those individuals just by phone. We don't need to do an in-person, like, let's watch you take your temperature kind of thing.
Right. Okay. I just ask those questions because there's a lot of common lay people out there that aren't aware.
Sure, and some of that may change. I will say there was some questions today on some of the calls I was on just about the scope and the breadth of people that are considered the person under investigation, meaning they just came back from Europe and now they're stuck at home for 14 days. You know, what is the expectations of local public health to continue to follow up with them if they're asymptomatic? Because most of us have very small departments, and it's hard to keep up with that.
Correct. Thank you.
Mayor?
Alderman Wilhelm.
Anderson.
What we're doing for testing, I'm not aware of any places that you can get testing that seem to make sense for the residents. It's like, oh, you can go to the ER. And I guess I want to know how many tests we're doing, what's expected when these tests actually ramp up, and how many tests are we doing that we even know where we're at with numbers? Because it doesn't seem to me like we're testing very many individuals.
Again, that criteria does tend to change every few days. I know that each hospital system, again, has their own process for this. That's why the best thing for people to do if they are thinking that they were exposed or have reason to be concerned about COVID is to call their primary doctor. If they do not have a primary doctor, they can call the emergency room and they will be directed where to go for testing based on that medical system. So some places are using their emergency room. Some places have put together stand-up clinics that you can literally just drive through in your car to get tested. Other places have specific medical clinics.
The question was, where are the drive-through places? But before you answer that, the alderwoman used the word we in terms of testing. The city of Franklin is not conducting any testing.
We are not. There are no health departments that are doing the testing. Again, that has to do with not having the personal protective equipment supplies for us to be able to do that.
I'm sorry. So, again, the city of Franklin is not doing
that. That is correct. We are not.
All right. The alderwoman asked if there was drive-through testing in the city, in the area.
Sorry. In the area, yes. I believe Ascension got theirs up and running, the hospital over here. But I believe it is by appointment only. So, again, that I think runs through people who have Ascension as their physician group that they're using. I know that there is discussion about something being set up in West Allis through the Aurora system. But again, they're all in varying stages of ramping up, understanding that they're going to have a lot more people that want to get tested.
But the key to this is to work through your... Kristen, just a second. The key to this is to work through your primary care physician.
That's the best avenue to go through because, again, each medical system has their own testing philosophy that they've set up, which changes based on the I guess, the surge capacity within that system. So the best way is to go through them.
Alderman Wilhelm, I'm going to follow up, then Alderman Taylor.
Okay, I guess I'm just wondering, shouldn't we as the health department and the city be pushing to have some type of drive-through type of service and not... I can see we being up to a certain facility, but can't we be the arm to get that going in our community? Because I'm not seeing the testing available. And the thing to go through your doctor, Courtney, have you tested that system out yourself as a patient to try to see the complications with that? Because I actually have on more than one occasion. It's not a good process, and it's not working.
Well, before that question gets answered, Courtney, you and I just completed something with the school district. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
So
and the reason for it?
So we are very much overwhelmed with the phone calls and the follow-up with just the number of people that are being tested, the follow-up for our confirmed case, all of the phone calls that come in from the worried well, as well as people who are symptomatic, as well as businesses that are concerned about, you know, their cleaning practices, should they stay open, should they close, that our nursing staff is overwhelmed. So lucky for us, with the school district being out right now, we were able to work with the school district to have the two nurses come on board as more of a surge capacity to help us with some of that contact tracing that we need to do and some of the questions that come through. To do the testing through the health department, we do not have the capacity to do that. We don't have the bodies, we don't have the equipment, we don't have the time. We're relying on the hospital systems. It's not a perfect system. We have four or five major hospital systems that are all sort of kind of working together but kind of competing against each other. And as I said, it's not a perfect system by any stretch. I completely agree with you on that, but it's the system that's there. I do know also that the ramp up of testing has really taxed the lab both in Madison and Milwaukee, and part of the problem is that more private labs need to have the capacity to run the tests as well, because at this point, the state lab and the Milwaukee Health Department lab are so overrun that they're looking at actually prioritizing the tests that come in or asking us to scale back testing again.
Courtney, you just said that the City of Franklin Department, Health Department is overrun, and the state lab testing is overrun, and we're not even touching getting into this in the next 2 weeks. We aren't even at a point where we can handle what we have. And in light of that, the fact that we were going to let the bars stay open, do you see the concerns there?
In my estimation, and perhaps it was an incorrect estimation, less than 24 hours would have been the turnaround between when that proclamation went in place and when this meeting occurred. So in my estimation, based on what I outlined in the email I sent you today, I did not feel that the risk before having this discussion with all of you outweighed the benefits of that conversation. Again, perhaps that was an incorrect judgment on my part, but that's the judgment I made.
Alderman Taylor.
I'm going to say this one more time. Just err on the side of the residents. Thank you.
Alderman Taylor.